Hello, nature lovers. Welcome to the Loudoun Wildlife Conservancy podcast. This is episode number 13, and today we're going to do our second interview. This interview will be with Mike Hazlett, and he's been with us for the past week or so doing a number of vernal pool exploration projects and workshops, and we are actually just wrapping up our second Spring Pools Institute here in Loudoun. And I thought, as a nice segue into our amphibian monitoring season, it'd be fun to have Mike talk a little bit about wetlands and our amphibians and the really special things that we have here in Loudoun County. So, Mike, to start us off, do you want to talk a little bit about wetlands and their importance to our ecosystem?
Sure. Thank you, Nicole. It's been a privilege to be with you all again for about the 11th consecutive year. I've really enjoyed it. I love coming up here. There's a lot of wetlands, a lot of variety, and folks have a real love for these habitats. And of course, you're in a part of Virginia where preserving them is very important. Yep. So thanks for having me up again. Wetlands, boy, where do we begin? Wetlands are such an important habitat for wildlife. And they're really one of the most diverse ecosystems in the East and in North America, comparable to tropical rainforests in the amount of diversity of living things that they support, both animals and plants. The perhaps the most significant factor behind that is that they are both terrestrial and aquatic. So especially these wetlands that we call vernal pools, isolated wetlands, and wetlands that are seasonal, they function both for terrestrial animals and for aquatic animals. So at any given time of the year, you could find, you know, dragonflies and tadpoles of amphibians. And then at other times, they may be like prairies, supporting plants that only grow up and flower after these wetlands have dried out. And then, you know, their trees and shrub components depend upon how much of the land is inundated. So they're really diverse, and they support both terrestrial and aquatic critters. And I guess most importantly, in terms of what we've been monitoring for over a decade now, they support amphibians. Mm-hmm. And amphibians need both terrestrial and aquatic components to their habitat. That's their lifestyle, their biphasic lifestyle. So they may rely on the wetlands to reproduce, to make babies, to raise young, but they're really forest-dwelling animals. And we've learned now how critical it is to have both a good upland forest adjoining the wetlands so that all of their needs are met within a wetland ecosystem.
Yeah. So one of the things we've been looking at over the course of this week are the vernal pools. Mm-hmm. And whenever I say the term vernal pools, a lot of people don't really know what that is. I get a big grin on my face whenever someone asks me about it, because I know I get to talk about something super cool. And all the really amazing creatures that use them. Do you want to talk a little bit about vernal pools and the variety that we have here in Loudoun?
Happy to. Well, vernal pool is kind of a subjective reference to a wetland that really functions mostly for wildlife. And in particular, for us here in the eastern U.S., mostly for amphibians. There are other things. There are some unique crustaceans. But it really is mostly about selected amphibians. So a vernal pool is a type of wetland, generally speaking, that is isolated from most other bodies of water. It is usually seasonal, or at least every once in a while it dries out, perhaps from drought, but it tends to be temporary or seasonal. And then ultimately, a vernal pool is a type of wetland that supports the reproduction of some very specialized animals, which include mostly amphibians, and then some crustaceans. So we talk about obligate amphibians that include the spotted salamander and the marbled salamander and the Jefferson salamander and then the wood frog and even the spadefoot toad and then also a little freshwater shrimp called fairy shrimp. But these vernal pools could be in any number of wetland settings. It could be a forested wetland or a swamp. It could be a sinkhole depression, like we found in the Luckett's area, and that's a wonderful region now of the county where we've begun to realize there's this tremendous collection of natural wetlands because of that area being a karst region, underlain by limestone. So there are sinkhole depression wetlands. Now that we're looking along the terrace above the Potomac River, we've found another very important type of wetland called an upland depression swamp. And these are extensive areas of swamp forest that are inundated seasonally. So when the water recedes, that can create isolated pools, vernal pools, as they support amphibians. And then, and it could be things as simple as areas of flooded farm fields, like in the north central part of the county, or it could even be things that are sort of wetlands by accident, mm-hmm. human created, that have been reclaimed by nature and now function like an isolated and seasonal wetland. And so they're vernal pools because they support these critters. An example might be an old stone quarry, like the one at Old Isaac Walton Park, mm-hmm. or we have found old sections of canal or old mill races in the county that now they're seasonal wetlands, and they function as vernal pools because they support these critters. So the vernal pool is kind of a sort of subjective reference, and it could involve any number of wetland types, but in general, it's a wetland habitat that supports some very specialized animals, as well as all of the other wildlife that you would find in an area. They also benefit from these wetlands as places to forage for food, to simply to drink water or to find refuge, and even places to raise their young. So they're just phenomenally diverse habitats. And honestly, having explored around Loudoun County now for over a decade, I'd have to say it's, in my mind, it's kind of the premier habitat type that is representative of this county. Mm-hmm. Wetlands.
That's exciting. You know, the other thing that I think is really neat about these habitats is the idea of a lot of the species that are mass breeders. So that, you know, they're coming out of the forest all at once in order to get to these pools. I know we didn't have quite enough rain this week, and we're looking for that big night, that big rain. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, it's true. These animals are really very much controlled by rainfall and by seasonal or even cyclical weather events. And what we've been looking for this week are late winter animals. They usually come to these wetlands toward the end of February or early March when we begin to have the first warm rains prior to spring. So they kind of put all of their eggs in one basin, if you will. They all come out, they capitalize on these ideal weather events when it's warm and it's rainy to all migrate to the wetland at once and reproduce in mass and then go back to the forest to live for the rest of the year. So they really put a whole lot of energy into getting to one place at one time for their reproductive strategy. And it's pretty phenomenal if you know, mm-hmm. if you're in the right place at the right time to see hundreds of wood frogs converge on one of these pools or in one of these swamps. And we have seen a lot of wood frogs this week. We've counted hundreds upon hundreds of egg masses. And doing a little extrapolation, we've seen areas where there are thousands of wood frogs coming out of the forest, converging on these ponds, these pools. And that's pretty exceptional for Virginia. I explore all over the state, and I can't think of any other area where I could find wood frogs so commonly as up here in Northern Virginia. So yeah, it's a real phenomenon when you see this, you know, when you see all of these amphibians converge at once to reproduce, and it you know, it's kind of humbling to realize that other living things struggle as they do to survive.
Yep, it's pretty neat.
It is.
So I have to confess, Mike is the person who first got me interested in the idea of creating a Loudoun amphibian monitoring program. Mm-hmm. So for those of you listening who are involved in LAMP, Mike started it. So he's the one who helped kick this off and was one of our great resources in terms of helping to vet the program notebook and things like that. And for those who are not yet involved in amphibian monitoring here in Loudoun, we can always use more volunteers. One of the really important things, I think, from our program so far is this identification of new sites. And, you know, over the last week or so, we've been able to go out and visit some new sites that we didn't even know about. And, you know, some of these upland depression swamps and, you know, who would have guessed that there's a swamp in Loudoun County? You know, it's not something you think about. But there they were. So that was pretty exciting. So with thinking about that and our local efforts here in Loudoun, Mike, I know you're starting up the Virginia Vernal Pools program.
Mm-hmm.
You want to talk a little bit about that and get us excited for that piece of the next steps?
Sure. Well, you know, I've just been delighted, Nicole, to see the success in the LAMP program. And I really regard it as a model for the whole rest of Virginia. And I, you know, when I go elsewhere, I be sure and tell folks that, you know, they should look at Loudoun as a good model for doing the same thing in their home communities. And again, you know, with so many wetlands up here, with so many people with an interest in wetlands, and then, of course, with the influence of many of these wetlands being lost, it's just the perfect place to start that kind of pilot. So I'm really delighted about it, and I'm really pleased that it's progressing with success. The fact that your program is collecting information on the places where certain amphibian species occur, and some of them are quite rare. I mentioned the spadefoot toad. And to date, we've really only had two places referred to us as where there either have been spadefoot toads or maybe someone has recently heard them or is aware of them. Only two places in the whole county.
Mm.
So that's an example of an amphibian species that's, you know, rare and would be really important for us to find information on. But gaining that info as to where amphibians are located, and even more significantly, where their appropriate wetland habitats are located, and then funneling that information not only back into the LAMP database, but now partnering with the Virginia Vernal Pools Program, which I'm hosting at Sweetbriar College, we'll be able to channel that data into a much larger state database mm-hmm. for vernal pool information.
That'll be great.
And I'm real excited about that. And so, you know, that's also going to give us the ability to get the assistance from state agencies and other organizations to improve the general awareness around Virginia about the importance of these wetlands. So so that information will be feeding back into a larger database
mm-hmm.
that will cover Virginia and not just this region.
Cool. So I guess one thing that people, whether they're involved in our LAMP program as active volunteers or just homeowners or neighbors who see vernal pools, we should have them send the information in and we can ground truth it, check things out and see where vernal pools and different wetlands are and continue to collect some good data.
Absolutely. That's the first line of defense in conservation. If we don't know a resource is in a particular location, then how would we be able, you know, to speak up for it, to try and protect it, to try and conserve it? So that's the first line of defense in conserving habitats and their wildlife is gaining that information about where they are.
Yeah, definitely. And it's such a great educational aspect to it, too. There's just so much to learn from going out and looking at the egg masses and, you know, teaching kids about what's out there. So I know you have some ideas on that one, too.
Well, sure. I mean, you know, I've been a youth educator for much of my career, and I firmly believe in getting kids out of doors and impressing upon them just how fascinating nature is. And it's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes it gets cold and it gets wet, and sometimes you get hungry. But it's just a lot of fun. And when you're exposed to these phenomena in nature, it really shapes your attitude about life in general. And that's important for kids, to give them those skills.
Yeah, and good perspective, too.
Sure.
So, well, great. Well, thank you for another wonderful week up here. And hopefully we'll have you up more often. You know, possibly if we're able to do some vernal pool restorations or other projects where we can maybe put back a forest or, you know, do some things like that to help the habitat.
Oh, yeah. It's a year-round activity.
Yep.
So I look forward to it. And keep up the good work. You all are a beacon, an example to the rest of the state for you know, really effective conservation of habitats, and especially of these wetlands that so many living things are dependent upon. So keep it up. Keep up
all
the good
right.
work.
Will do. Well, thank you all for listening, and I hope you've enjoyed this interview. It's only our second, but we'll do additional interviews as we have other people to talk with. And coming up, maybe in the next week or two, I'll do some other amphibian-oriented podcasts. I did get some good recordings of wood frogs last week when they were out, so I'll see if I can do a podcast on them, and we'll talk about some of these other species. So I guess that wraps it up for this week's episode. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you along the trails.